Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Time for Wiggy and Bradfo. Jermaine Wiggins and Rob Bradford on Boston Sports Station, WEEI.
In conclusion, my folks who aren't here tonight, but Mom, Dad, Mayor, Emily, Ad. Uncle Will. All my friends. Thank you. And my wife, Nicole. Thank you. I love you.
All right, this is Andrew Luck. Obviously announced his retirement a little bit earlier than he anticipated last night. After the Colts game, I'm Rob Bradford along with Jermaine Wiggins. And part of the conversation regarding the Andrew Luck retirement, there was a lot to get to, but part of it was a tweet from Doug Gottlieb. And Doug is the host of the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. Does a lot with Stadium Compass, The Athletic,
FS1. He was getting dragged for that tweet, too.
Doug, thanks for joining us. I mean, you got a lot of love on this tweet, didn't you?
Yeah, you know, I got everybody from Sean King to Britt McHenry. Like, I got both sides of the aisle pissed. That's a beautiful thing.
Right now, 50.
It's like when you call a game and both sides think you're a homer for the other side, like, that means you've done a good job. Maybe that means I've done a good job, but whatever. You know, it's always amazing to me how people, they read something and then they just add things into it that didn't previously exist. So anyway,
to set the scene here, Doug, you 13 hours ago on Twitter, you tweeted retiring because rehabbing is quote unquote too hard is the most millennial thing ever. # Andrew Luck. So yes. before we take our stance on the 50-50, and I can't imagine it's 50-50, but we'll get to that. Before we take our stance on it, you tell us where you were coming from, because maybe it wasn't articulated exactly how you wanted in this tweet. Maybe it was.
Well, I just think it's a completely different mindset. And anybody who has dealt with athletes, you know, look, I was an athlete myself. My dad was a coach. My brother is a coach. And, you know, I get a chance to cover the NFL and college football and college basketball and the NBA. And, you know, you ask people and they'll say, look, athletes are different now than they used to be. From their political awareness to their brand awareness, and just to the idea that, like, you know, I'm going to quit because it's not fun to me anymore, which I understand. Like, well, I get it. You know, anybody's had a job in our business knows there are jobs that there's times where it's not fun. And, you know, I don't know why you guys got into this. I mean, it just kind of happened for me as my athletic career was winding down. But I mean, it is supposed to, I think, in your mind be super fun to go to work, and it's just not. So, and look, I've never had chronic pain, but so I don't actually know what that's like. But I look at the history of football, and for the most part, like, one of the things that makes football players different human beings than the rest of us is their ability to process kind of the rigors of practice, the pain of a Monday morning after a Sunday afternoon, and get up and go to work and do it again. And Andrew Luck's like, nah. I mean, look, it's not, had he torn his Achilles tendon after the shoulder injury or whatever, and the lacerated kidney, like, I kind of get it. But remember, he was telling everybody a week ago, he's going to be fine, he's going to be back. But apparently, you know, you go back a week ago in a preseason game, and he said last night that he knew it was going to be the last time when he just warmed up on the field. He knew it was going to be the last time he warmed up on the field. Like, so he knew, like, kind of a week ago that he was feeling this way. And so I think people look at it and they say, well, it's a personal attack on Andrew Luck. It's not. I've actually been an Andrew Luck defender for a long time. Go back a year ago, and I went at it with Nick Wright and talked about, you know, he won 33 games his first 3 years with crummy teams and crummy offensive lines. This is just more about the difference in mentality, right? Like, ask somebody, take calls on people who hire millennials, and they'll come in and they think very highly of themselves. Now, he actually isn't totally entitled. He doesn't carry himself with an air of arrogance. But, you know, oftentimes people who own businesses, they're like, yeah, we'll hire a guy. And then, you know, 2.5 months in, he wants a raise. Like, that's not the way it works. Like, there's just a different kind of mindset these days. And this is different than anything we've ever seen. You know, like, this is not Jim Brown. This is not Barry Sanders. There's just more of these, what you would call different dudes, that football is not their life. And basketball is not their life than it used to be. And if you don't think that's different now and there's a higher volume of them, I would say that you're probably at least a little bit out of touch with talking to coaches and talking to GMs and talking to ADs around the country.
Now, see, Doug, I understand the part of maybe the sport not being their life. And we all say dumb things, and I think this is your stupid thing that you said. I played 8 years in the NFL and, you know, like a lot of players, dealt with injuries throughout my career. But I do realize that, you know, there are players out there when it comes to injuries, the biggest thing that they have to deal with is the mental part of the rehabilitation, the coming back and going out there and practicing and knowing after you have to practice through pain. And everybody is different. But to make the statement and saying that, you know, because it's too hard to rehab it, I mean, if you haven't been through that situation before, you never know how you're going to feel mentally. And I think Andrew Luck at this point is looking at it where he just can't go the route of the Steve McNair and not being able to practice Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays and going out there and playing. So guys are different. I mean, it's kind of like a stupid statement to say that it's just too hard for him.
Okay. I mean, but, you know, that's kind of what he said, you know? I mean, I'm actually, you know, and I think, again, people take it as some sort of shot at him as a human being. It's not.
Well, you have
to. Wait a second, Doug. I mean, in all the things that you say, I understand where you're coming from, but you keep coming back to say, I'm not taking a shot at Andrew Luck, which is exactly what you're doing. You can't lump in Andrew Luck in with this millennial narrative that you want to get out there and say, oh, no, but I'm not talking about Andrew Luck. That's exactly what you're doing. You're hashtagging Andrew Luck.
I am talking about Andrew Luck, but I'm using him.
Do you think that Andrew Luck, this millennial mindset that you are talking about, which I don't think a lot of people would disagree with, this millennial mindset that you are talking about, do you think Andrew Luck should be lumped in with the rest of these people that you're talking about because of this decision?
Yes, and I think you just said you weren't criticizing him.
Which is it? I don't understand. You're trying to separate Andrew Luck at one time, and then you're trying to lump him in with everybody else the other time.
No. Well, I mean, maybe this is a mental leap that you disagree with, but it's the idea of putting his mindset and lumping it in with a millennial mindset. And if you think that's being critical of it, yeah, I guess partially, but not personally critical in terms of, like, I think he's a bad person or whatever. It's just the idea that, like, nowadays, a guy, and look, part of it is he comes from not just a football background, but a background of education. He's got plenty of money, and so it doesn't matter as much.
But he is
the guy right now who's kind of got his flag in the ground for, like, hey man, if it's not fun, if it's really hard, like, move on to something else. And it's championed by people. Because that is our new kind of that's many people's mindset nowadays.
But
it wasn't previously. Like, look, Alex Smith, for example. Like, look, Alex Smith nearly lost his leg last year, right? Mm-hmm. And my guys who I know people represent him, they're like, dude, he's never gonna play football again. But don't tell Alex Smith that. And
right, but listen, Doug, I understand the Alex Smith, and like I said, I've played with athletes that have played through a lot, and you're like, how? But it comes off as, when you say that, it comes off as, like, mentally he's soft and he's weak. Because how can he, you know, he had a great year last year, and how is he letting these injuries affect him to be able to go out there and continue to play when we know he still can play? And the only reason, in your opinion, why he allows himself to do it is because he's not mentally strong enough to deal with it.
I think it's a portion of it, yeah. And I think he admitted as such.
Yeah, but
he just mentally, I mean, like, look, if you actually go listen to his press conference yesterday, he said he thought about retiring the first time he was hurt. And remember, again, like, here's another part, like, you know, and that he, remember, when he hurt his shoulder, then he made it worse when he got hurt snowboarding. Right? Again, that's kind of like a millennial thing. That's a kid thing to do. And I point it out only because, like, again, he has a life outside of football. And most guys who are football guys, and you can speak to this way more than I can, mm-hmm. but they're, like, all about ball. Like, that's all they do. And now we encourage athletes to, like LeBron James, be more than a basketball player, to be more well-rounded, to have other things outside of your life. That is the mentality. And so it's very, very different. And if you want to say that it's soft, or you want to say that it's somebody that wants to simply have joy when they go to work, like, okay. Like, I get it, but that is a completely different mentality than the one that you were raised on, I guarantee, and that I was raised on. And this is a change. It's an absolute change.
Okay.
I don't want to do something because I'm not having
fun doing it anymore. Obviously, and we're getting a better idea where you're coming from, and you're lumping in Andrew Luck. You're saying he's a millennial, and this is how millennials think. But I would say this, is that this group, this mindset of millennials, would the typical millennial that you're talking about that sort of propagated this mindset or this mentality have two cartilage, who have torn cartilage in their ribs, partially torn abdomen, a lacerated kidney, concussions, a torn labrum, and this calf and ankle issue. I mean, would the millennials that you are lumping in Andrew Luck with, would they have gone through this, this guy has gone through over the last 6 years? I know the answer it.
No, probably not.
So then why would you do that? Like, why would you use Andrew Luck as this example of this is how millennials are thinking when there is clear evidence why this guy had led himself down this path all the way to last night? Why would you lump the two together? I don't get that.
Well, because, again, if you listen to talk, he talked about retiring when he had the labrum issue. He's retiring because of an ankle and calf issue.
Like, well,
he's retiring because
6 years he got the crap kicked out of him. His body has been broken down, and partially because of it, he doesn't have the passion. He doesn't have the passion to actually do this. And the other question I would have for you, Doug, is that when Gronk retired, I mean, you could make this argument a whole lot more for Gronk. I didn't see a tweet from you about Gronk when he retired.
It's a good point. Here would be my thing with Gronk. I mean, one, Gronk had a ridiculous number of surgeries. Secondly, the second part is the league has designed a rule system which, I mean, like, there's a reason Tom Brady is able to play at 42, right? They've designed a rule system where the guy they are most trying to protect is Andrew Luck, whereas that's the opposite with Rob Gronkowski, right? Like, and maybe that's the debilitating part for Andrew Luck, which is now he hurts his ankle or his calf or whatever the heck's hurting him, and nobody actually hit him when he hurt it, right? And you're sitting there, you know, talking to yourself and saying, damn, I can't believe I hurt myself and nobody even touched me, right? But the reality of it is all these other guys are able to, whether they've sustained injuries or they've played through it, or they just are protected by the rules. Like, the league has designed a rule system which protects Andrew Luck to shield him from more injuries in the future. And, you know, you can't hit a guy below the knee, can't hit him above the neck, can't hit him after like a split second after he releases the ball. And, you know, so, I think it's a good point you make about Gronk, but I also think that Gronk got his ass kicked for 10 years and he was at a position where guys were just trying to take shots at him.
I mean, you're right about that, but if you don't think that Andrew Luck didn't get his ass kicked, I just rattled off the documented injuries he did.
But here's the thing.
He absolutely did. And then the Colts rebuilt themselves because they built the reason they were good last year was because they built basically like a human shield around him. Like, that was their whole thing, was Chris Ballard's like, dude, we got this great player. Let's protect him. And that's what they did, and that's why they were successful. Pretty simple solution. And he had to get rid of the ball quicker, which he started to do. And then he was, you know, and then slowly got better and better. So, I mean, like, look, we're making it just about Andrew Luck. The reality is that And maybe this is his frustration, is now he finally has a team that protects him. He's in a league that continues to protect him, and he keeps getting hurt. I get it.
Right, but here's the thing I would go to, and we're talking to Doug Gottlieb of Fox Sports. Here's what I would go to as somebody who played in the era with Steve McNair. My career went from 1999 to 2007, right? So I was able to play in an era where, you know, and I understand the point that you're trying to make where, say, you know, the league is a little bit different than when I played. But I think the problem that we run into, and when we're talking about football players, regardless of the position you play, the sport is so violent, unless you're a field goal kicker or a punter, the sport is so violent that you're dealing with things on a daily basis. And especially when you look at a guy like Andrew Luck, who played in, you know, 86 games, the wear and tear over your body. But the biggest thing that people miss is how athletes, each athlete is different, and how they're able to deal with the mental part of those injuries. There are some guys, Doug, who just can't go out there and they say, I got this injury and I can't perform at my best, and I can't be the best player. That, and I think that's what is going on with Andrew Luck. I think he feels like, I can't be that elite quarterback that I want to be because of the shoulder injury, or, you know, whatever injury that is affecting him. And he knows that he can't perform at that level, so he thinks it's better for him to walk away and enjoy his longevity than to continue to put himself in harm's way.
And that's not a millennial thing, Doug. I mean, that's, and you said, oh, well, don't lump this in with Barry Sanders or Calvin Johnson or Jim Brown or whoever, but this goes back to Borland of the 49ers. In this day and age of football, guys, if you have the right to do it, you have every right to get out of this thing that you know that's probably going to ruin your life 20 years down the road. So what's wrong with that? That's not a millennial thing.
Well, I mean, we saw a guy like Robert.
I think you're in a little bit of denial that the mentality and our reaction to it has changed. You know,
we also saw a guy like Robert Smith, who was in the league when I played, running back, former running back for the Minnesota Vikings.
I worked with the two players.
Yeah, he was a guy who said, you know what, I'm walking away from this game. And he walked away from, in 2000, he had a really good year. There was a guy, Tyrick Glenn, who played offensive line for the Indianapolis Colts. Somebody else who walked away.
So I'm curious. So you said, you know, Robert Smith, and you worked with him. Did you ever talk to him about why he stepped away from the game? He's obviously a very intelligent guy. He thought
super, super intelligent.
Yeah. So did you ever talk to
Robert will tell you, like, he had, you know, I mean, I don't remember when he stopped drinking. He didn't like his life. Like, mm-hmm. He was an alcoholic. I mean, he had a lot of, and you know, like, there was the thing. Remember, he couldn't play at Ohio State because he signed with an agent, and he was, then there was talk that he wanted to be a doctor. His situation, I believe, was about money and how he felt disrespected, and as well as where he was in his personal life. But again, like, I would also point out that he's a running back. Like, it's a much shorter shelf life. And I do think, you know, you can, in the future, you can see running backs. I mean, the reason that these guys are holding out is because they're just getting pummeled. Whereas, like, we're reasonable in talking about quarterbacks. Like, these guys are able to play longer because we continue to protect them. So the true point of the whole thing is, like, dudes are different. You know, like, I talked to a guy yesterday, and this is a little bit aside, mm-hmm. but I was talking to a friend of mine about Dwight Howard and signing with the Lakers.
Right.
And there, he was like, dude, I saw the Dwight Howard workout. It was the most impressive workout we've had the entire offseason. Like, he looked incredible. He looked incredible. And I was like, what's his deal? Like, dude, just different dude. You know, as long as he just, like, well, he doesn't, like, interact with people that often, just because his interactions are really awkward. And as you guys know, in Boston, like, Kyrie Irving, like, kind of a different dude, right? And there's I think, a higher percentage of these guys, which, frankly, part of it is guys are more educated than they ever used to be.
Yeah, but I think there's
sometimes they overthink it. Sometimes, because they're educated, they have way more opportunities outside of just sports, or at least they think they do.
Right.
Whereas kind of an older school mentality, maybe, is like, hey, Andrew Luck seems to be put on this earth for one thing, and that's to play football, and he's damn good at it. And so it's just interesting to me.
But Doug, it makes it
interesting to everybody that a guy couldn't go, like, hey, I'm just going to take 6 months off.
I understand the different dudes, and everybody's different. There's a lot of things now with social media you can get into. We've all seen LeBron James, and you know, and we want our athletes to be more than just guys who play on their respective field or court or whatever it is. But I think with the tweet that you had, it comes across as Andrew Luck's not a different dude. It comes across as he's soft. And that's what I think. That's the biggest thing.
Or that it's a softer generation.
But it comes across as soft. Not generation, but soft is like. And we hear it in football all the time. Oh, that guy's not tough enough. He's not this. It comes across as like he's a soft football player. And I don't. And I think that's wrong. I think it's wrong to paint the picture like that when a guy who's played through number of injuries.
When you played. Like, look, how important is the mentality of your quarterback, of your leader, of being not, you can't be like everybody else. You have to be tougher than everybody else. You mentioned Steve McNair, and obviously probably to his own detriment, right? Because of the style he played, the shots mm-hmm. that he took, it's probably what led, you know, his life down a path that people didn't see coming. But I mean, look, quarterbacks are usually super tough hombres. And they're usually able mentally to overcome it. You know, it's one of the things that's amazing. Like, do I think Brett Favre should have played late in his run with the Jets when he had a torn bicep? No, but he did. And that's why he's Brett Favre. And that's why he could walk into a locker room and get dudes to play with him. And I just think this is very, very different. Right. And I think you'll see more of this. I think some of it is guys are making a lot more money. Like, that's the Calvin Johnson thing. Like, dude, I get it. Like, you're tired of getting beat up. You have enough money to live the rest of your life. That's fine. But that is that's a different mentality in terms of the percentage of guys that search for joy more than for a paycheck. You know, that search for joy more than, because I always thought like the most fun you have is when you win. When I coach youth basketball teams, kids talk about, well, practice not fun. No, practice not fun because the fun part is when you win.
But I think a lot of football players are now starting to think about their life after football, and they want to have some form of, you know, in their 40s to, you know, with the concussions and other stuff, and who knows what the true Andrew Luck thing is. But I think a lot of these guys are thinking about life after the
Doug,
game.
Doug, we really want
to
thank.
No question. That actually makes my point, right? Which, you know, and in some ways, it's not a bad thing.
Right, but it doesn't make them soft, though.
All right, okay, we got to get going. Yes. Doug,
hey, really, good really, stuff,
Doug,
man.
Hey, good news. You picked up 500,000 comments on your tweet since we've been talking. So it got the conversation going. It's a good topic to rattle back and forth. And appreciate it. Doug Gottlieb of The Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. You're going to want to tune in. Doug, thanks so much for joining us.
Anytime, guys.
Okay. Bye. Doug Goss. So that was good. So yeah. I want everyone's reaction to that. 617-779-7937. There's some thoughts that I certainly have. I think, Wiggy, you probably have some thoughts on what Doug had to say. But once again, 617-779-7937.
He stood his ground about how he feels.
I think that some of it
Alan,
was,
he's right.
I mean, I think that some of it was picked apart a little bit. And I think that where we got – it was good to have him on, if for nothing else – I think we actually got to where he wanted to go with his tweet,
right.
Which is still wrong, by the way. It's still wrong, but it gives
us a clearer picture.
It gives us a clearer picture, which once again is still wrong. And I'll tell you, and I think you'll tell us as well, Wiggy, why we think that Doug Gottlieb is off base. We appreciate him joining us, but still doesn't make it any different. Probably off base. We'll talk about it after this.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Back to Wiggy and Bradfo on Boston Sports Station, WEEI.
Maybe this is a mental leap that you disagree with, but it's the idea of putting his mindset and lumping it in with a millennial mindset. And if you think that's being critical of it, yeah, I guess partially, but not personally critical in terms of, like, I think he's a bad person or whatever. It's just the idea that, like, nowadays, a guy, and look, part of it is he comes from a not just a football background, but a background of education. He's got plenty of money, and so it doesn't actually, it doesn't matter as much to
but
him.
But you know what,
but
it comes...
He is the guy right now who's kind of got his flag in the ground for, like, hey, man, if it's not fun, if it's really hard, like, move on to something else. And it's championed by people. Because that is our new kind of that's many people's mindset nowadays.
But,
all right, that's Doug Gottlieb of Fox Sports Radio, who just joined us for a good about, what was it, 20 minutes to talk about his tweet from last night. Really, I think that when you talk about this Andrew Luck retirement, this has to be top three conversations, this tweet alone, doesn't it, Wiggy?
Right.
I mean, in case you missed it, the tweet he had, which was at 9:57 last night, retiring because rehabbing is quote-unquote too hard is the most millennial thing ever. Hashtag Andrew Luck. And Doug joined us, Wiggy. I'm Rob Bradford along with Jermaine Wiggins. And he joined us to sort of explain himself. And Wiggy, before you kind of give your take and we get to the calls, my thing was I came away from this thinking, okay, he has this mindset about millennials, mm-hmm. which he isn't alone, and that's fine. The mistake that he's making is using Andrew Luck as the poster boy for millennials when I just rattled off the amount of injuries. This guy's getting the crap kicked out of him. And by the way, he can do other things and he can get out of the game, which is if he kept playing, that is probably going to damage him later on in life. And if you have that option, you do it. But he's trying to lump Andrew
Luck.
Well,
you don't necessarily do it.
You do what you think you want to do. Right, exactly. But he's trying to make this seem like this is, like the typical, and a lot of things he said about quote-unquote millennials, I'm not going to argue with.
Right, but
this is a bad guy to use as an example.
Right, and I think what he was trying to do is use the millennial thought process on how they live their life in the world. He's trying to use that and then relate it to a guy who plays one of the most violent professional sports, right? You know what I mean? And I understand, like, okay, the millennial thought process are we all get trophies, that kind of thing. But then to say, well, you know what? We now have to relate that to a guy who wants to retire at the age of 29, who, you know, came off a very good year and is dealing with something physically every single day that he just can't get past. He wants to be able to put those two that go hand in hand, but they don't.
A football player, using a football player stepping away from football, and I don't care what position he plays,
right,
is probably the worst thing to do when trying to make this millennial argument. And I think he was caught a little bit when we brought up Gronk. Well, why didn't you tweet this out about Gronk? And he's like, well, look at the tight end position or the Robert Smith. Look at, he's a running back position. Right. I don't care.
He tried to relate that the position is more physically demanding.
It's not like Andrew Luck has a red jersey on when he's playing.
Oh, he's wearing flags. Yeah,
or he's wearing flags. Anyway, you want to get to the calls?
Let's get to the calls.
A lot of reaction.
The millennials are out there.
I guess so. Let's start with Rob in Maine. Hey, Rob, how you doing?
Hey, boys, how you doing?
Good.
Listen, you know what's great is Cranky the Red Sox played on the West Coast last night, Rob Bradford. I love that guy.
Unfortunately, you hit the nail on the head.
I know. It's clear. I love it. But listen, I think you got to put it in a little bit of context with the Andrew Luck stuff. Football players in general are so much tougher than average Joe guy, right? If you're a professional football player, you are a tough SOB, period. But I think you could make a point that maybe today's football player, not quite as tough as 30 years ago football player. Doesn't mean he's a lot tougher than almost everybody else, including me.
Right, but Rob, then I would ask the question, right? What makes you say that? Just you like, what makes you say today's football player is tougher than, you know, what makes you say that I'm more tougher than a guy who plays today?
A few things. I think the amount of money and the lifestyle that you become accustomed to when you get to be a professional athlete today is a lot more you know, than it was, say, 20 or 30 years ago. And I just think that, you know, everybody is somewhat less tough now than they were when we were doing things like, say, fighting World War II. I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong with it. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying I just think it is.
Rob, let me introduce this part of it, too, because you're comparing generations. Is some of this also the education of what we know happens with football players?
I think we're smarter.
I think football players are smarter. I think there is an element of that. I think you can't ignore that part of it, Rob, where you have guys stepping aside because they're looking at the evidence of what might happen to you if you keep playing, which we didn't have that evidence 20 years ago.
No, yeah, and listen, it's called evolution, that's all.
Right.
And I'm not even knocking it. I'm not saying it's bad. Maybe it's good. I'm just saying it is.
Well, and see, I would say that...
All right, thanks for the call, Rob.
Right. I would say that football players might be smarter. And when I say smarter today, I don't mean like, you know, based on education or anything like that.
They
right?
can still not figure out how old they were 10 years
right.
ago, like much like yourself.
So all I think is that the game has changed and the game has evolved, right? And the game is about...
It's smacked in front of us. We have movies about, you know, about this evidence of guys killing themselves because of they're playing football.
Right. And I would say we evolved but to say that we're tougher and they were more physical. No, because I think that watching Gronkowski and watching some of these other guys play, the stuff that they have to deal with, I had to deal with. And the stuff that I had to deal with, guys like Mark Bavaro had to deal with. So
you had to deal with it more, by the way. I mean, well, there wasn't, going back 10 years ago, the protection, we talk about the helmets, the
right.
helmet issue, the equipment issue, the practices, the way constructed, all of it, you had to deal with it more.
Right, and it wasn't that, and I don't think it's because we were tougher than guys that now play today. I think that was just the era that we were brought up in. You know, nowadays you can't crack back block. You know, you see those and those are penalties. So these guys now come and think of that. When I played, it was always keep your head on the swivel because guys were cleaning out piles. And it's not that... You had to be tougher to do that. It's just that was what the rules provided you to do.
All right, let's go to the next call. Eric in Plymouth. Hey, Eric, how are you?
I'm good. I think, was it Doug Gottlieb?
Yes.
Okay. So I just heard the tail end of what he was saying. I didn't read his column or whatever he did. But I think he's an idiot. I mean, he's never played football. He doesn't know what it's like. He's, you know, he's sitting, what does he do? He's a writer, right?
Yeah, he's just a radio guy.
Yeah, he's a radio guy. Okay, so...
Well, he played... And Eric, just some context. Doug Gottlieb, he was at a high level in college basketball. Mm-hmm. He's a very good college basketball. He might have had a cup of coffee in the pros.
No, he never had a cup of coffee.
I will say this. One of the telling things, Eric, at the beginning of the interview, was that he said, I haven't had to go through the injury process.
The chronic pain.
And that's an important part of this.
Right.
Because even if it's a different sport, like Bill Walton had to go through that, right?
Right.
But Doug Gottlieb did not have to. So you have to introduce that into the conversation. What else you got?
Right. And so, you know, him not – okay, so he hasn't been a football player. He hasn't really gone through what Andrew Luck has gone through. I mean, you can't just keep banging your head against the wall repeatedly and not wake up and say, you know what, when are you going to stop? You know what I mean? If you keep – He was talking about how Andrew Luck was talking about how he kept going through rehab, and it was a recurring thing. And he at one point said, I have to be done. I don't think it's necessarily a millennial thing. It's a smart thing.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a good way to put it.
Right.
And he had to go through that game, didn't he, on the sideline with all the fans yelling at him? And that's tough. That's tough, too. There's a lot of different ways that you can say things are tough, and it's not all physical. And old people, they like to hang on to something because we don't got a lot of things. I'm not a millennial, but toughness is one of the things they like to look back and say we were tough back then, you know. And it's overblown because the guys that play today are just as tough. I mean, they're still going through the same things,
right.
the ACLs, whatever. That's Their ACLs aren't any stronger than anybody else's, you know?
Thanks for calling, Eric.
See, and the other thing, Bradford, I think a lot of what happens is that when you look at athletes throughout generation, and there are probably a number of guys that I could I'd have to really think about it, go back and think, like, you know, they probably said, man, I can't do this no more. My body is just, I'm going through the rehab every day mentally. It's just wearing and tearing on me, having to wake up, you know. There were guys I know that you know, coming off of MCL injuries, and, you know, a couple days later, they can't walk until Wednesday. I remember when I had a very bad ankle sprain, like a high ankle sprain. And, like, the next day and a couple days later, like, I couldn't even walk. I could barely walk. And then, but you still have to go out there and try to, like, fight through it and then practice. But my mindset was different than maybe an Andrew
because,
Lux.
Well, also because you were, like, which football.
But it's who I am,
listen,
as a person.
Listen, and also, Wiggy, let's be real. Like, football was your thing. Like, how
right.
about, you were defined
that's what it
by
was.
Football,
yeah.
right? Correct? I don't think Andrew Luck is feeling like he is defined by football right now anyway. All right, we got to take a break. We're going to get back to your phone calls. If you want to weigh in, we see you all lined up. 617-779-7937. Reaction to the Doug Gottlieb interview that we just executed. Wiggy did an excellent, excellent job. John Anderson, excellent, excellent job of getting him on the line.
Yeah, we got what do you call it, Cranky Bradfo?
And Cranky Bradfo.
Yeah, we did get Cranky.
I didn't really think about it.
You were standing up for the millennials.
I was.
Hero of the millennials.
There's no bigger proponent of the millennials.
Where's Reamer when you need him?
Well, I felt like I was standing up. I've been standing up for millennials in terms of Reamer, in terms of the rest of them. All the live long day this morning. But way on in, 617-779-7937. Be back after this.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Back to Wiggy and Bradfo on Boston Sports Station, WEEI.
All right, Wiggy and Bradfo, congratulations, Wiggy. You get to go first. First name on the bantle. On the bantle.
Yeah, that don't matter to me.
That's called a banner and mantle.
Is that what that is?
Yeah.
On the schlickle.
The schlickle.
Oh, there you go. 617-779-7937. I see everybody weighing in on this big interview that we just did. It's just catching the world by fire. Does that make sense?
Yes.
It's like you and the, I got a lot of fires in the iron.
It's a lot of fires in the iron.
A lot of fires in the iron. We have a Schefter report. We have sound for a Schefter report? No? Do we have that? No?
I don't know.
Horns?
Maybe.
So what is it? They aren't taking back. John Anderson, this is your big moment. Go ahead.
Okay, well, I did have the tweet up. Schefty on Twitter. Despite the fact that excuse me, let's start that
over. You're acing this. Your brand has never been hotter.
That's all right. Nobody heard it. Don't worry. Try it again.
Well, yeah, we dumped it. So, despite the fact that they could have recouped $24.8 million from their former quarterback, the Colts, they are owed, league sources tell ESPN, the opposite of what the Lions did with Calvin Johnson.
Hmm. Well, there you go. So the story continues to unfold, and we're going to be taking calls as you can. When's that going to be up online after the interview with Doug Gottlieb?
The sooner we finish this segment, the sooner I upload the whole hour.
Okay, well, we got to crank through these calls. People are very passionate about this. So let's go to Danny in the truck. Danny, what's going on?
How's it going, guys?
Good.
I just want to comment. I think it's pretty ironic that a guy like Doug Gottlieb, I'm not sure how old he is, what generation he's from.
43.
But for him to, he's 43. Mm-hmm. So for him to make a comment about a guy like Andrew Luck, when Doug Gottlieb makes his living writing tweets and doing things that you would associate with, you know, millennial behavior, I just think it's like such a hypocritical thing to do when he's making his living off of what, you know, we would consider millennial behavior. When a guy like Andrew Luck, who's got a laundry list of injuries and he's playing through this and that, makes a logical decision, you know, like, what's Andrew Luck got to impress Doug Gottlieb, who, you know, makes his living writing tweets and making opinions about this and that? I think it's pretty ridiculous, you know.
Well, like, see, the hottest thing.
I'm 29, so mm-hmm. I guess I'm considered a millennial. I work with a bunch of other millennials. You know, we're tree climbers. We do tree work, which is, you know, pretty much one of the top three most dangerous jobs in the country.
Mm-hmm.
So, what's Andrew Luck going to say? Doug Gottlieb going to say about us?
Yeah, well, you know, Danny, you hit the nail on the head in terms of where Gottlieb was off track,
mm-hmm.
because he's trying to paint this picture of millennials, and it's not a unique picture at all,
mm-hmm.
but he's trying to use the wrong person, and in your case, Danny, he would use you as the wrong person to make this point. Like, you are a hardworking person that is doing what you're doing.
A laborer and risking
injury and so forth and so on. Everything that goes against the narrative of a millennial, right? And that's what he was, and the same thing with Andrew Luck. Even though Andrew Luck made the decision because of quote unquote, he was getting tired of the rehab process, it's much bigger than that. He's playing the most violent game there is. It's a terrible way to highlight the millennial conversation that Doug Gottlieb wanted to.
That's what I mean. It's ridiculous. You know, if I fall out of a tree and break my leg, probably not going to be going back to tree work, you know? So I just think it's such a cliche thing for, like, us younger guys to have to do something tough to impress the older generation when, you know what, it probably wasn't that much more tough back in the day. You know, Andrew Luck's probably taking a lot harder hits from a DE right now than, you know, 25 years ago, DE was probably a little bit slower, you know, a little bit smaller than he used to be. So
all right.
I just think it's kind of ridiculous.
All right, Danny, thanks for the call. We got to keep cracking through these phone calls. Will in Warwick, what's going on, Will? How you doing?
Hey. So I want to tackle this thing from a physical standpoint, but first I just want to, like, touch on this, like, narrative and stigma that older generations are ageist against millennials, which is the term for it. But just in general, I don't get it. As a millennial, I just don't get the whole ideology. Like, we were past the economy, we were past the job market, and if we were past trophies, someone passed those trophies to us. So I just want to point out that, you know, when it comes to older generations speculating, criticizing younger people, they should probably realize that they're the parents of those people. So either what they're saying is true, and they failed as a generation of parents,
mm-hmm.
or maybe what they're saying isn't true. I mean, I'll let them extrapolate that fact for themselves. But getting to the point, I mean, let's talk about, like, the physical well-being and the physical conditioning of athletes today versus athletes back in the day, right? So you were taking harder hits right now than you were before, but before you had less safety equipment. But biologically and by and large, the athlete in the NFL – or the athlete in general is better conditioned and overall stronger, and we have more medical advancement to make sure that we're more reliable as athletes, and yet we're still suffering the same things that they suffered before. But you can't say that a millennial is weaker based on nothing biological. Millennials aren't mentally weaker than anyone else.
I think
and biologically, as a race, we're the same. So,
well, I think, Will,
it doesn't make much sense.
Yeah, Will, it's a good point. And Wiggy, I don't know if you agree with this or not, but one of the things that they'll point to is, look, they have all this padding, they have the helmets and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
Well, also, as Will points out, these guys are bigger, faster, stronger than they ever
have
been. Yeah,
but the thing about it is, are there advancements in let's say, helmets and shoulder pads? Yeah, there is. I mean, I'm not going to say that there isn't from when I played or, you know, you know, 15 years, 20 years before I played. Yes, there's definitely some advancements in the equipment, but at the end of the day, you're still playing one of the most violent and physical. So if you have a helmet on, granted, you're a little bit more protected today than you were when I played, but the rate, the speed, the size, guys were just as, you know, just as big back then. You're still putting yourself in harm's way. No matter how much padding you have on, if a guy lands on your leg the wrong way, it ain't going to make a difference.
By the way, I would love to, what I would love to do is get Doug Gottlieb down to a football sideline and watch and say, you go look at what the quarterback has to do with a crappy offensive line. You look at what that dynamic's like.
No, I would love to. This is what I would love to do is I'd love to put him in pads and helmet and not put him up against professional athletes, because put him up against, you know, like high school kids, like my kid who play the sport and they play it at a high level, and put him up against kids like that and let him see that even for, you know, high school athletes, the speed and what they bring and that kind of thing, and you not ever being in this position before, you're going to say, well, wait a second. Hey, I don't want to play this sport, even though it's a high school kid hitting me. I think a lot of people don't realize until they're put in those situations and have to deal with the physical, the physicality that comes with playing a contact sport, regardless of when you played and playing at a high level. I don't think they
What's
really
your son's
understand.
Name?
Jermaine.
Jermaine's a defensive end, tight end.
Yeah, defensive end, tight end.
Okay. We're going to make that happen because we're all about science here on the show.
We are about science.
So Doug Gottlieb will probably be flying in the studio next week.
Put the invitation out.
And we'll give Jermaine a running head start and have him tackle Doug Gottlieb. Yeah. Sound good?
I don't think Doug Gottlieb would want that.
I know. That's the point. All right. 617-779-7937. We're going to take a break. We see you all lined up, Kevin, Scott, Eric, the rest of you, talking about this Doug Gottlieb interview. Jermaine Wiggins, Rob Bradford, be back right after this.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.